Welcome to the Motoring Podcast, your weekly discussion of motoring news. This is episode 169 on Tuesday, the 20th of March, 2018. Hello, I'm Alan.
Hello, I'm Andrew. And on World Happiness Day, we will be discussing the return of raids. The Mayor of London's transport strategy is released, and a man is getting penalised for his underpants.
Yes. Shall we explain why we think the news is the way the news is this week?
Yes, first of all, we need to say we are under extreme technical constraints tonight because of technology.
Yes.
So we apologise to that, and we apologise to the Patreon people who normally watch this live on Hangouts, but that was it just wouldn't happen tonight, and we're really sorry, and we will be beating computers at both ends and internets and anything else we can find.
Yes.
So sorry about that.
I am most disturbed that I paid extra for the better Wi-Fi tonight.
But also today's episode is perhaps not going to be one of our happiest ones.
Well, it depends on the... No, it's not, actually. It's not. I can't spin it.
There's no depends.
There is just no depends, okay? We've got a slight theory about this in that there was all PRs were working their little socks off on the run-up to Geneva. And then they did Geneva, and so all the news was all Geneva, and then all the news the following week was a continuation of Geneva. And Geneva's now finished, and all the PRs are sitting in darkened rooms trying not to think about all the work they've just done about Geneva. So there's not much has gone out this week. So all the stuff that is normally boiling under a happy skim of interesting news has kind of come to the surface and is bubbling gently and festering away. And as a result, it's very difficult for us to find the stuff that isn't nasty, horrible, festery stuff. So, yeah, and just serendipity and bad luck and stuff as well, really, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
Should we get on, though? Let's try and fight our way through this.
We will do our best, and we will try not to bring you down, like I say, on World Happiness Day.
The
irony of this is just amazing. Yes. But first of all, follow-up. We talked about, I mentioned before, just before, that there has been raiding once again. And this time it's to do with Dieselgate.
Yay!
Yes, I know, just...
Sorry, this is me trying to keep it light, guys. Keep it light.
I was desperately searching for positive news, and I stumbled across
blooming
Dieselgate. I can't believe it. But this is returning to this is a new investigation into suspicions of market manipulation, and this all goes around the fact that in December 2015, on the 9th of December 2015. Volkswagen said that there was only 36,000 vehicles were affected on fuel consumption. They'd understated that, so therefore that's changed the CO2 figures. But that was significantly lower than the 800,000 vehicles they thought were affected when they mentioned it 5 weeks earlier. So the prosecutors have gone into a few places now of Volkswagens to try and find information, look for documents and all that sort of stuff, and see if Volkswagen actually fibbed in the December the 9th.
If they knowingly fibbed, I think.
Yes, on the December the 9th one. But they seem to feel that that was quite a discrepancy in figures. Mm-hmm. So that's why that investigation's gone on.
But there's more.
That, yes. A BMW now have been searched. And by the way, there's a little pattern emerging. The prosecutors, on the day or week of a German automotive company's announcing their annual returns, suddenly have a bunch of people with badges in the reception saying, please, I want to have a look through your records. Here's our warrant.
It is a bit niffy, that, to be perfectly honest. Now, I know that German corporate reporting is rather strange, and German shareholder meetings are... Well, in Volkswagen, they tend to focus on the sausages. But, yes, they're the worst. I'm trying. I really prefer
the woe and gnashing and wailing.
It's better than the puns. But yeah, they're very different from here. People tend to be far more combative, far more outspoken, I think, and they definitely run very differently from what I've learned over the time that we've been doing this. So, yes.
Yeah, but I also get... It also seems to me that maybe perhaps this is more of a public opinion about the car makers now and their, and the continued anger and embarrassment of what it's done to Germany and its reputation through the actions. Because if they're prepared to embarrass them on these big weeks like this to make sure everybody reports on it, because they're waiting until the reporters are there to talk about the company.
I think there's a certain truth in that. So when I've been working in Germany recently, then this kind of topic has come up. And, you know, discussions about the strength of the car industry in Germany, you know, when it comes to the government, when it comes to steering policy and stuff. And there does seem to be, especially post-Dieselgate, a certain bitterness about that, a certain bitterness about that. I think that's as far as I'm going to get on that.
Yeah. But anyway, they're in BMW because they are investigating the suspicion of defeat devices.
This is the mixed up, erroneously allocated software, isn't it?
Yes, it is to do with that. So they are now, they've been into the head office in Munich. And they've also raided the research facilities and a factory in Austria. So that's and the suspicion is that that's the engine plant in Austria. So it'll be interesting to see whether this actually is the case, and whether, you know, a prosecution or evidence is found that there are defeat devices, because the public perception of people, just, you know, normal people on the street, is all car manufacturers are on do this. And yet up to now we've only got Volkswagen is the only one that has been actually in court, although FCA are now going to have to face court in America.
Dodge stuff.
Yeah, and I know FCA are fighting stuff in Europe as well, because people have been, prosecutors and environmental corporations, or organisations even, not corporations, organisations have put forward strong claims that there are issues with the diesel in Europe as well. So if everyone's at it, why hasn't anybody else been taken to court or had the book thrown at them yet?
Well, quite, and there's definitely been plenty of time and plenty of raiding going on.
Well, everybody's been tested, and they've been tested again, and then they've been tested again. So
it's getting a bit tricky.
And a lot of the comments now are coming out of, oh, but in the real world it doesn't do that. And it's like, well, see, now you're trying to compare.
But that's different. You're
comparing
not the same.
Bottles of water to apple at that point. You know, it's not. You can't do that.
No, not at all. That's completely that's completely wrong, and that's not the testing that people are undergoing. It's we have to be very, very clear. Is the problems with the tests at the time that the cars are being tested, not the thing, not necessarily real world conditions. It is.
Right. Let's move on to new news. Not great news, though.
New news, not great news, and it really is the big news that has been hitting stuff. It's probably the since the start of Dieselgate, it's probably the most important story that's come out. I mean, it reached number two on the BBC News website yesterday, and that is the sad news that an autonomous vehicle in Arizona actually struck and unfortunately killed someone, a lady who was crossing the road at the time. Absolutely, from that point of view, we have to be very, very clear that, that this is a sad thing, this is a bad thing that has happened, and of course our thoughts are with the lady's family. But the to go into more detail from the automotive point of view, then it was one of the Volvo XC90s being run by Uber Technologies.
Mm-hmm.
That was running on the public highway with I've forgotten the term. With basically a person,
the safety driver.
A safety driver, yes, thank you. That's kind of the term I was looking for. With a safety driver there, with an emergency cutout, and all of these, and all of the kind of things that they have to have in order to run on the public road. But yeah, the vehicle didn't detect the pedestrian. As yet, we do not believe, it has not been reported that the vehicle detected the pedestrian. Obviously not, otherwise it didn't even try and brake or swerve.
Yeah, the problem is it's so fresh that there are very few facts. There is an enormous amount of supposition and suspicion, yeah, and people adding two and two together and possibly coming up with four, possibly coming up with
17.
A boiled frog. Who knows? Yeah. That's the problem we're at the moment.
We can't go
too much into this because we don't... Anyone who listens to us regularly knows we don't go down that route.
We definitely try not to race down
the bottom of just reporting any old thing. We don't like to do that. We like to talk about facts and then give our opinion on the facts, not rumours and gossip. If we can, yeah, you know, that is what we don't want to do. So until we can get the proper report back from the police that, you know, that we can see, and the NHTSA, if I put that in the right order, which are on their way to investigate this as well. Until we get those facts, there's very little to say.
Yeah. Can I quote from, yep, this Bloomberg Technology article though? You're absolutely right, Andrew. The only bit I want to mention from this Bloomberg article, naturally, links to Autocar and Bloomberg articles, which seem to be the most comprehensive I've seen so far, will be in the show notes. It just says, the Uber had a forward-facing video recorder which showed the woman was walking a bike at about 10 p.m. and moved into traffic from a dark centre medium. It's very clear it would have been difficult to avoid this collision in any kind of mode, Sylvia Moyer, police chief of Tempe, Arizona, told the San Francisco Chronicle. There we are.
Yep.
That's it. That's the description that I've, or the clearest description,
yep,
that I've read. So it seems that's the case. It was a very sudden thing. There we are.
Yep. And we are not going to go down the route that some people who are, which is they're still trying to score points on whether autonomous vehicles are good or bad. That's just outrageous.
But this was this was always going to happen. It was always going to happen at some point.
Yes.
At no point is it ever going to be something to score points off at all. It should never be. It will be very important in the development of self-driving vehicles. And this isn't a trolley bus article. This is not one of those hypothetical who would it save type rubbish things.
No.
That come up. But this will be... This is the most pivotal thing in the development of vehicles that drive and control themselves that could possibly happen. And the way that this is dealt with, whatever the outcome of this is, will have an effect. I personally hope that effect is to make some of the organisations which are so focused on the or that come across as being so focused on the technology and the technological aspects of it, as opposed to perhaps some of the safety and sociological aspects of this kind of development, and I hope it will focus and possibly reset some of those. Beta testing on the road is very dangerous. It has always been very dangerous. Personally, that it has taken this long surprises me. And I kind of hope this is it, really, from that point of view. Obviously, I hope there's going to be no more.
Yep.
I think that's a very brave hope, and I don't think it'll come through. This will happen again, and I hope that it's a while before it does. Quite a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a fair enough set of statements there, isn't it?
I think so. But also just added to this, because this only was announced recently before we came to record, but Toyota has suspended the US public AV testing.
Yes,
the chauffeur. In the short term. Until more information is known and that sort of thing. As we've said in the past, from all the information we've ever been given or when we've investigated it, Toyota have a very conservative approach to this sort of stuff. They are not prepared to rush into things, and this sort of action seems to back that up, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yes, exactly. Shall we move on?
Yeah. Shall we get something happy?
Oh no! This is the second of this week's major stories, and I think it's just about Cark, the poor Wi-Fi connection I'm connected to. But it's the Mayor of London's transport strategy for London for 2018. To 2041. So that'll never happen. And this is a not inconsiderable document of over 100 pages.
163.
Which Andrew has read so that we don't have to.
I will accept your thank yous later.
No, I think we all thank you for that. We're very clear in our thanks for that. It is a weighty tome, and part of the challenge, and you know, we can all imagine how this is going, because we've talked about Mayor of London Sadiq Khan's approach to travel and transport, particularly private vehicles, a number of times. Andrew, has he said anything that we wouldn't expect from the Mayor of London?
Anything we wouldn't expect? Well, I wasn't expecting there to be a big chunk about jobs and housing.
Okay.
But it is sort of connected, because he was discussing how better transport is required to encourage more businesses, but also to link up the new housing that will be built. Yeah, right. The new housing that will be built to allow people to get to work. The new affordable housing. And they're actually... God,
this is London.
Yes.
There's no such thing.
No, that's absolutely, you know, just pie in the sky. But they're actually going to... you'll like this. Sell off some of the Transport for London's land to do this.
Oh, that's sensible.
So, selling off their assets to do this. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. I will try and be brief about this, and I will try not to be too...
Is it fair to say that you have burnt off at least some of your disappointment with this document already?
Well, I'm hopefully not going to have to edit myself for swearing. So I think I'm a bit better than
there's
I was.
There's a bonus, everyone.
A bit better than I was. Yeah. Right, so what he's trying to do overall is reduce congestion, have healthier Londons, Londoners even, Londoners, people who live in London. He wants more Londons and he wants them healthy Londons. No, that's all wrong. Healthier Londoners, safer roads, safer public transport and more new housing. Okay. So we ask, how is he going to achieve that? Well, one of the things, particularly for the healthier Londoners, is something called active travel.
Does that mean walking? It sounds like walking to me.
Walking and cycling. There's going to be an awful lot more of it. An awful lot. And you're going to do it to work and the schools, and all the glorious shops that are suddenly going to spring up in the utopia that will be London.
I'm flicking through this, and according to all the artwork, there are going to be people having coffee on pavements, in wheelchairs, on benches. Not the wheelchairs aren't on the benches.
No, it's a glorious picture that gets painted several times throughout the document.
There's an amazing amount of money must have been spent on some of this artwork.
Yes.
It's very pretty.
It is.
But there's, I mean, London already does, gee whiz, there's one there, and there's a Chevy, there's a car that's not even going to be sold in the UK pictured in this. Page 51, if anyone cares. Yes, it's, there is already an awful lot of this in London, says the man who's been walking 25 minutes to and from the office, because it's easier than using public transport for the last couple of days. And, you know, London does sort of resemble Amsterdam at times during rush hour and things. So it'll be curious to see just how many more people there are that are willing to commute by bicycle, for example, than already. No matter how many lovely bicycle lanes and things there are.
Well, that's it. I mean, there's going to be, well, if everybody thought that Boris had made a mess of London with bicycle lanes, strap in. There's going to be bicycle lanes, it's going to be car-free zones, there's going to be the ultra-low emission zones, there's going to be zero emission zones, there's a demand for diesel scrappage scheme.
Really?
Yes, there's, funnily enough.
So it doesn't matter if London's okay as long as we move the problem elsewhere then, yeah?
I think he's calling for a national. I think they're calling for a national diesel scrappage scheme.
Right.
But it's a diesel scrappage scheme. He's suggesting that more can be done with the river. We're going to have more river services. but at the same time, if you read further in the document, the River Authority of London has to reduce its CO2 and air pollutants. So it'd be interesting to see how they marry that one up. There is one or two inconsistencies and perhaps contradictions throughout this document, as you might imagine. There's even talks about on-demand bus services.
Is that not a taxi?
Well, it does sound an awful lot like a taxi, except...
Or ride-sharing that they're trying to get rid of, yeah.
Looks like it's going to be bigger and they'll control it. He's also demanding more powers from the government to be devolved to the mayor.
Right.
And also demanding that the government change VED rates so that people only buy or are encouraged to buy zero emission vehicles. So he's already working on the excuses of why this never happens.
So just let me get this, because I saw it was a tweet that was saying that there was broad support.
Does
anyone understand what broad support is? Because it does sound sounds awfully Sir Humphrey Appleby in there.
I think broad support will be because we've couched the questions in a certain way, they could only answer in a positive manner.
Well, we did notice that when we looked at some
things before, didn't we?
Because we commented on that some months ago whenever there was the...
because this is the results of that consultation.
Whenever there was that consultation, and we looked at it and we said out loud, it's very difficult to fill this in because you're guided in one direction.
Yeah, they're loaded questions. They're loaded questions which you are not allowed to do as a police person or police officer... questioning a suspect, you are not allowed to guide them. So, you know, quite why they think they can over something like this, who knows? Yeah, so he's working on the excuses of why it's not going to work. So it's not going to be their fault. But also there's other things like they acknowledge that people go about their lives slightly different now, and then people get deliveries to them and things like that. So that has increased the amount of freight traffic on the roads, which is helped make congestion even worse than it was. And some of the suggestions include things like you will get a time slot at which a van will be in a car park near you, possibly, that you go and collect your parcels from.
Oh, that works awfully well for me.
Well, yes, and one conversation I had with somebody on Twitter, they went, well, why don't you just go to the shop at that point? Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's see how Londoners react when we tell them they can't get their Amazon to the door.
I say that, actually, but I quite often do use, you know, an Amazon collection point or a shop near me, and end up going and collecting my parcels. I do end up doing that because I'm not around when the deliveries are taking place.
And they're talking about, in rather patronising tones, actually, they were talking about how procurement needs to get its act together, particularly in the public sector, and sort out how it has deliveries, and the deliveries should happen at certain times when there's less traffic. So, hey, you know, if you work in a place that where you thought you're working 9 to 5 and you want deliveries, get ready for a night shift.
It's the thing is that then that'll cause ruckus because it'll be more noisy traffic at night. I wonder which consultancy's involved in this.
I
wonder
imagine.
Which Big Four or Big Five. And there's some awfully nice graphics here, but there's no.
Well, I can take a guess. There's also another thing that they're talking about is limiting provision of parking for the new housing that they're going to suddenly spring up.
Oh, that works really well around me. Have you noticed how well that works around me?
Absolutely, because nobody wants a car.
Because nobody wants a car, and people always want to park their car far away from their house. They don't just then abandon it in the middle of the shared space.
No, so that'll be one that will go down well with people. Basically, cars and private transport is evil. And do you want to know how evil it is?
Well, terrorists.
Yep. They're a weapon for terrorists. Yes, he went there.
In an official document?
In an official document.
Wow.
Now, if you are... I mean, that's almost playing the Hitler card.
It is, yes. It is the governmental... It is currently the governmental equivalent of being the guy that brings up Hitler in an argument on the internet.
That is... Well, then... If you go there, you've completely undermined your argument when you're talking about transport. That you are really worried that what you're talking about will not be accepted. Essentially, buses are wonderful. They are the future. There will be more buses. They will be cleaner. But they won't get as clean as cars as quickly. That's okay, because the bigger, more buses, the ones that cause more of the pollution on the road...
I'm going to disagree very slightly with you here, because here in the centre of London, which is where I am, from where I'm recording, which is why it is, of course, so difficult to get any connectivity, a very significant percentage of the buses going around are either diesel electric hybrids or other alternative fuels.
Yeah, sorry, I was going off the time scale that's in the document.
Sorry,
is cars have to be cleaner quicker than the buses.
Oh, okay. Well, the buses are already well ahead. That's the thing.
Okay.
Here in London, I mean, that is not reflected around the country. That's because the last few mayors have made a significant investment in some of this stuff.
Okay. And they're going to be able to afford all this with more charging zones and tolls, which are going to constantly be reviewed to make sure they're still fit for purpose, so i.e. not enough. But also they will, I loved it when I read this, they will borrow against future earnings.
Oh, that means that we don't have PFI? A money with... That's...
And also innovative no. private investment.
That sounds like PFI as well to me.
Yeah.
Oh, those always work well.
No, not always. Been any problems with that.
None at all. That's well known here in the UK for the combination of public and private investment to mean that private makes all the money and public gets completely... Am I allowed to use the word shafted?
Yes.
Okay, they get completely shafted. Yes.
So that's about it, really. If you've got a car and you live in London... And a few people have pointed out to me, say, oh, well, no one's got cars in inner London or central London. So I understand that. But he's looking to include all of London here.
Yes, he's not and just he's talking about, the zone about I'm in
reaching
here.
Into the southeast. And the tone of this document was very patronising, as in, but we will show the rest of the UK the way forward. And I was like, okay, now, your problems are unique to London. Some of them are transferable, but most of your problems are unique to London due to the size and the concentration of people. Most of the cities don't have that same issue.
No, so, definitely not.
And that's where another problem I can see with this document. As we know, an idea comes out that people think is good and they don't understand why it's good and that it is only good in that particular instance, and they try and lift that and parachute it into somewhere else without adapting it or looking at the core reasons behind it. Things like, we just look at open plan offices. If you go back to the origins of what makes an open plan office good and where it is actually a positive thing, none of the architects today that go into a building and say, we'll just make this open plan, know what they are. They just go, oh,
well, not maybe.
Take all the walls out and wonderful things space. Will happen. And it's nonsense. That's not how it works. But that's just an example of, you know, taking an idea and throwing it in somewhere else because, well, that was the idea, wasn't it? No, you don't. You've got to understand it. And if other areas or other urban areas are going to adopt some of these things, because some of it makes sense. I mean, there's quite a lot on there in this document about making London more accessible to people who are not as physically active or as able to get around as easily. And that's great stuff, and that should be done. Absolutely should be done. And yes, the air should be cleaner. However, if you were really, really trying to get congestion down and really, really make the air clean, you'd have stuff in there that I've mentioned before about encouraging alternative days working from home perhaps, moving satellite offices further out because that will help regenerate areas as well. None of that's in there. All this is dealing with how can we deal with the number of people that come in, not look at can we reduce the number of people that come into the centre, the really sticky areas. None of that is there. So it's level one thinking.
Which I think is a good point as any for us to move on.
Yes, I think we should. But on the back of that...
It is kind of on the back of that.
Yeah.
Because there's, starting the ball rolling, so to speak, there's the announcement of 100 new EV chargers available in London to help... with the focus of these actually being on them being available for taxi drivers. So I believe 41 of them are for taxi 51. Drivers. 51 are for taxi. I couldn't remember the exact basis and I can't find it in scrolling where I am. Yes, 51 reserved for use by the new TX taxi cabs and therefore 49 of them being available for... being available for all users all EV rapid charge users. I actually noticed one of these the other day by the side of the road on my way as I was driving my car into London the other morning because I was avoiding public transport. But it was 6:15 in the morning. I was already in the car. I was driving. It was -3 outside.
In a car?
Oh, it was -3 outside as I. As I went past the turning for the station, I thought, I could get out. I could pay over £110 for my train ticket, plus the cost of my parking, and stand around on a cold platform for 15 minutes, and then be on a smelly train with dirty people, and it was all crowded and nasty.
Or, well, all these new works are not going to sort themselves out without you spending this money, Alan.
I could stay in this nice, warm car and just drive myself to, about 200 metres from where I would have ended up with the train anyway. So
you're so selfish.
And it took me an extra hour to do it, by the way, than it would have taken on the train. But it was comfortable. Anyway.
Exactly.
More to the point. Back to where we were now that we've stopped abusing Londoners. Yes, so these...
They're polar ones, aren't they?
51. They are polar. We, of course, give a quick mention to Polar for their support on Charging Around Britain, which was gratefully appreciated at the time, continues to be. But they are ultra chargers, and they are, I think, they're slightly more powerful ultra chargers. I'm sure we'll get
50 kilowatts.
If we're wrong, 50 kilowatts there. As I say, I saw one by the side of the road, and I thought, oh, wow, that's a really unusual place to have an ultra charger. Because normally they're in car parks and in sort of slightly private areas. So I did see one the other day. They do actually exist, not just there for photo ops and then hidden again. Mm. The other thing I've noticed, by the way, I've seen a few of the new TX taxi cabs on the street.
Are they as massive as they look in pictures? Or is it the pictures just a bit distorting it?
The pictures distort it slightly. It's not really much bigger than an existing taxi, which is quite a bulky vehicle.
Mm. It's probably just a little bit squarer, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, a bit squarer. But do you know the big difference? They're so quiet. They really are. Compared to the rattle of the diesel ones.
Oh, imagine that Sherlock Holmes episode, was it the...
I didn't see it.
Yeah, because it's the taxi driver that does the naughty deed. I think it's the first of the new Sherlocks.
All right.
And it's like, oh yeah, you could really creep up on people in them. Crime writers now furiously adding, and the taxi silently crept up behind the unwitting victim.
But it's not only that, they look good too. Seem popular. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's worth also mentioning that Pod Point are looking to put out a network of charges with 150 kilowatt charging power. Although there isn't actually anything that can charge at that rate yet. They're making sure they're one step ahead of where the vehicles are, so as soon as the vehicles come out, they can start to use them.
Okay.
Which is brave. Well done. Small round of applause.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're just getting more and more charging points put out. Okay, it's not covering the whole of the country yet in enough volume, but it is
only
going to
take
it
four or five.
Better, and it is getting better quickly.
Let's make it completely clear. Even whenever we did Charge Around Britain, it would only have taken three more, plus a CCS plug on the one at the one at Land's End for us to be able to have gone right around the outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's be completely clear. That's how close it was then. The network now, I don't know. I just every week there's more announcements, and every week I think the excuses are less and less. I mean, there was.
See if we can do it.
We're going off what's written down here. But I got the press release through from Renault the other day about the new Zoe with its 186 mile range and the cost of leasing them, even the lease numbers including battery.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
And it's just getting
so close, isn't it?
It's so close. It's the same cost.
Well, I would suggest lot of people, you get to 200. I mean, I was having a brief chat with Rich Gooding on Twitter because he's trying out the new Leaf up in Scotland, and that's 235 miles range. And you get to 200 miles, and I think that just flicks a switch in people's minds. It certainly does for me. Even though, we've driven around with a lot less than 200 miles range, and we found that that's actually very, very usable. But as soon as you hit 200 miles, that just for people, because they're not sure of what they really do, they're not really, aware of how many miles they travel. It flicks a switch, and it's like, well, yeah, actually, hang on, you know, it's only 300 quid to stick the electric, or thereabouts, roughly, you know, it's always a, it's roughly thereabouts for 300 miles to get, £300 to get a charger fitted at home.
By the way, you know it's included with the Zoe, yeah?
Right, okay, because I saw prices for, I think
BMW,
it was...
BMW, I think it is.
Oh, I thought it might be Volkswagen.
Possibly.
But they're charging £300 to, or €300 to fit them. But the point is, you know, it's not actually that significant a cost, considering what it's going to give you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. And it's forever and ever, amen. You know, once you've bought your car, you pretty much no fuel cost.
Yep. Yep. Right. Well, talking of fuel...
We've digressed fantastically there, because we all know it's far more interesting than what we're actually meant to be talking about.
Yes, it was remotely cheerful. Let's stay there and hug
optimism.
It and shake it and look after it.
Not shake it.
Gently. Rock it, sorry.
Rock it. Yes. Rocket's better than shaking.
Yeah, shaking's probably not.
You get in trouble for shaking babies, you don't get in trouble for rocking babies.
No, that's true. That
I'm
is
told.
True. Your Honour. but we were mentioning before BMW, and we were mentioning Volkswagen and CO2 figures. Well, because of the Worldwide Harmonised Light Vehicle Test Procedure, or WLTP for short, not that much shorter, which is what is going to replace the MPG and CO2 figures that we have become used to, because this is run remotely close to what is supposed to be real-world figures. BMW have put their whole range through the tests, and they've now increased the CO2 outputs across the range. So for example, the BMW 520D SE automatic is now rated at 119 grams per kilometre, which is an extra 17 grams per kilometre, which over what was the NEDC test, which I'm taking from Sam Sheehan's article in Autocar, which will be linked in the show notes. That also brings down the economy from 72.4 miles per gallon to 62.7, and means a 3% rise in tax for company car drivers. So this is quite significant, actually.
No, it is. It's the whole thing is very significant. But is that... That, and you probably don't know the answer to this, but is that company car drivers who do it after, who get these, who, I was going to say buy these vehicles, who acquire these vehicles after a certain date? Because surely they couldn't possibly punish people who've already bought them,
or who are
already running them.
I don't think they would be doing that yet, but at the minute the WLTP isn't actually the one that these things are being judged off either. They are running in conjunction with NEDC, but I think it's later this year it flips and NEDC is no more and it is only WLTP
after that date.
Yes, yes. Because they started in September last year, I think. I've got a feeling it's September this year that the NEDC is switched off.
And because everyone was very clear in saying, look, this isn't going to change people who've already got vehicles. This is only for the future.
Yeah, for now. But we know governments are one to change their minds. And as...
when it suits them. Yes, well, yes, exactly. So shall we move on?
Yeah. I think it's about halfway. Well, it's not halfway. It's beyond halfway.
No, it's well beyond halfway.
Let's take a breather and everyone can have a little rest. And
quite. So take a rest and a moment and let Andrew open another beer to remind you about our Patreon, where you can support the Motoring Podcast by donating a small amount of money every month. If you'd like to know more, then head to motoringpodcast.com and click on the orange Become a Patron button on the front page. If, of course, you're already a patron, then thank you so very, very much indeed. We understand, of course, that not everyone has the ability to do this, so please don't forget to like, rate, and leave feedback via the podcast player of your choice. It is really your support, everyone, is really appreciated.
Yes, it is.
Both of those men, so thank you absolutely. So much. Yes, genius. That was short this week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I didn't feel the need and the urge to talk around it for a change.
To the point, everybody knows.
Quite.
And off we go.
Yes.
Motorsport.
Formula E. Motorsport Corner. Formula E was in Punta del Este in
Uruguay.
I've forgotten what country that
Uruguay.
Is it Uruguay? Thank you. That was subtle. Nobody will notice. In Uruguay last week.
Be fine.
I didn't get a chance to see the race, actually. But it was pretty hard fought. But Lucas, it was pretty hard fought. In the end, the final results were Jean-Éric Vergne for Cheetah. They race a cheetah, you know.
That'd be a brilliant PR stunt.
That would be what if they raced a cheetah, an actual cheetah. Yeah. Oh, they have done it.
Oh, yes.
Yes. We'd be so disappointed if they hadn't. Lucas Degrassi was second, 0.447 of a second behind. Sam Bird from DS Virgin Racing was behind, was third. Fourth was Mitch Evans, and fifth was Felix Rosenqvist.
Well, Rosenqvist did well because he was back down in 14th or 15th, wasn't he? After
was
qualifying. And also, Degrassi was supposed to be pole, but they seemed to take forever to decide he had actually exceeded track limits. So only half an hour before the race,
Demoted him to second.
Vergne went first and Degrassi was second. And looking at some of the pictures that come out, because I didn't see any of the racing either because I was watching Goodwood in brief moments when I wasn't having to deal with the family, because they're so selfish, they want attention. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But the racing was very tight. Degrassi tried it pretty hard by the looks of it, and I've seen reports that he's apologised for a couple of little bumps.
But he is the most unfortunate driver ever. Certainly,
but it is very funny when he loses his cool.
He's very Brazilian.
Yes, I know. I mean, I shouldn't really laugh, but it is quite humorous because, yes, when he went off,
he's
and
passionate.
Shouted at people. He's showing he wants to win, and that's brilliant. Yes. That's what you want.
Unfortunately, yes. What he's not doing is turning up with the right underwear. this is nuts. This one, he turned up with the he was not wearing. Has he been docked points?
No, told off.
Yes, he has been thoroughly told off.
It was Vergne, wasn't it?
Eh? What do you mean it was Vergne?
Wasn't Degrassi, was it?
No, Lucas Degrassi. Right, Autosport, Lucas Degrassi had been fined for wearing non-compliant fireproof underwear.
Oh, right, sorry, yes. Yes, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, no, my apologies.
No, because I looked and it was like, oh no, how can Lucas be this unfortunate? But it turned out that that whenever the stewards were checking the underwear and the helmet and his hands device, they discovered that he'd been wearing short flameproof underwear as opposed to long flameproof underwear. He's been fined €10,000 and given 3 penalty points, but it was a lot. But was allowed to keep his podium finish. He claims that all his long ones were wet, and so he had to wear his short undies, but his short undies are not what he was meant to be wearing. How do you make these mistakes? I'm sorry.
No,
him and the Audi team in general, it's just silly. Yes,
is it, folks. Do you think it is the pressure? Do you think because last year I felt towards the back end that the pressure just got to him and he couldn't control the emotions and it allowed silly little mistakes to happen?
He's a very experienced driver. you know, he's done endurance races, he's done all sorts, and then it comes to this, and he and the Audi team on his car do dumb stuff. I just don't get it. I don't understand how something as fundamental as the length of your underwear, which is, you know, you must wear long underwear.
I think Alan McNeish must be quietly kicking bins around the back of there.
Possibly not that quietly, but yes. Yes.
Because, like you say, these silly, tiny, little, stupid mistakes shouldn't be happening. Yeah. And, you know, particularly not at this level.
This is amateur, you know, racing,
yeah,
level.
This is, you know, you're a club, you've entered club,
yeah,
racing,
club racing,
and it's your first year, and you've got the yellow sticker with the black cross through it, and, you know, you're going to make mistakes. You go, oh, I just didn't realise, I'm sorry. But this shouldn't happen now.
No, not for
him.
Not at that level.
Not for him.
Not at that. Anyway, more racing. More racing, Andrew.
Yes, the Goodwood members meeting was last weekend, and thoroughly excellent it was as well. There was a very moving letter read out just before the fever, minute of fever, before the Formula 5000 demo. And there was lots of fever and Henry Hope Frost stickers and basically everyone celebrating him, really, as you would hope. And that was all wonderful. And more money has been raised. I believe that
91,000 was the last number I saw.
Yeah, the Just Giving page is still open. So if you haven't and you are able to contribute, look at last week's... actually, I'll put the link in again, this week's show.
Yeah, if you could.
Then click through and give anything you can, because it is for a wonderful...
But kudos to everyone who was down there and racing and taking part in that.
There was weather.
It was... I was just a lot... So on Saturday, I was... One of the reasons I didn't see this was because on Saturday I was just along the road at Bewley. And it was... bitter. I mean, it was proper cold.
I saw a few people comment
stuck to the monitor,
and I chatted to a couple of people on Twitter. I said, "Oh, you're still there?" And they went, "No, we had to go. It's too cold. Just couldn't.
Too cold. I mean,
couldn't stay."
Even along the road, I had the choice. I had long johns with me, and I hadn't put them on, and it was so cold.
I thought that Goodwood was trolling everybody, because when you saw the shot down the straight, the start-finish straight, in the background was this humongous
bonfire
that wasn't lit. And I thought that was just cruel and unusual torment of everyone there.
But it was... But some of the racing was absolutely fantastic. One of the races, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the names of them, that I saw was the one with the two E-types in the lead. And then that Ferrari behind.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sorry, that Ferrari behind.
The brand.
£25 million at the last time it was valued bread van behind.
Yeah, that
and
had...
And it was sitting out, covered in snow.
Piro.
Piro, yeah.
He was driving and, it, and it was just... It was just phenomenal. If only that car had a decent... third gear, he'd have been past them.
Yeah, because he kept catching and then losing them, catching. But, you know, these guys, it's fantastic to see these telephone number value cars being driven, being used, sitting in the rain, getting covered in snow, and all these things. Just wonderful.
Well, things got bent as well, didn't they? So particularly on the Sunday.
Things got rather bent, yes. Well, it was... I mean, the tyres, the first corner was treacherous, I think, for anyone.
Well, yeah. I mean, particularly because some of the fields were quite full as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't do the motorbike racing because the conditions were just too dreadful. And, you know, I don't blame them for not doing that.
No.
I mean, it looked tricky enough in the cars that were closer to this era, let alone the ridiculous... Here's a bed frame with some wheels on each corner that was going on.
Well, heck was that with two Harley-Davidson engines with a common crank, wasn't it? And it was a bedstead. The guy was driving a bedstead with two Harley-Davidson engines with a crank between the two of them.
I bet he had his long fireproof underwear on.
It's a wonder he could get his fireproof underwear on, given what he must have to drive that thing. Unbelievable.
But I'm going to have links in the show note to the YouTube playlist on Goodwood's YouTube channel, but also to the members meeting page, because there's other videos on there. They seem to be adding more videos to the playlist, so go and enjoy it. But it was utterly brilliant to watch it. The kids were absolutely captivated by Swift in the minis. Utterly captivated. It was such a shame that both the races that he was in, the mini was involved in on the Sunday, got shortened because accidents happened, and you know they obviously had to, you know, safety first. You've got to get the cars out of the way properly.
Cars out of the way, and then repair.
Yeah,
stuff
and then fix stuff. So, whilst it was a shame, totally understandable. But I can't wait for Revival in. Towards the end of the year, and seeing that again, that will look brilliant.
Agreed. Agreed. It should be fantastic. Okay. Next up. Oh, back to the serious topics again.
Well, this is more of a help to people, this one.
This is a help to people, and we're not going to go into it in great detail. 2018 diesel car tax rules. Changes to the vehicle excise duty again.
We talked about it at the time when Hammond changed the rules, but it's about to come in. Yes, it's about to come into being. So, if you weren't aware or you'd forgotten about it, click the Motoring Research article that's been well written by Andrew Brady. And have a look and see how much you are now going to be penalised where you weren't before.
With your first year ones and stuff, I'm pushing it late. I think on my new car, because I think it's going to have to be the 31st it gets registered. Pushing it awfully tight to the edge. Yes, and it's not diesel either, so it'll still get stung.
Yeah.
So yes, there we are. So please, if you're not sure about that, if you do need to buy a diesel car in the nearest future, then do it there. You should be getting some pretty decent deals on them, to be perfectly honest.
Yes. Well, for many reasons at the minute.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. I mean, yes, that was what I meant. You should be getting some pretty decent deals, meaning everyone else, you know, judging by the 30% drop in diesel sales. And yes, you should. Diesel registrations in. Yep. Only another couple of weeks before that fun comes around again, everyone. Woo! Andrew, Uber again.
Yes.
Which I think isn't quite what you possibly thought it was when you headed up this article in the running order.
It was. It was exactly what I thought it was.
Are you sure? Because, I've just read the words "and members of the public." It is very much a planning tool, though. So, Uber, do you want me to introduce this one?
Go on, you've almost done it.
I've kind of done it, haven't I? Yes. Sorry. So, Uber has, and this is what actually made me interested in Uber in the first place, many years ago, before it became the fount of evil that it has since become in people's minds, is that Uber is very, very clever. With data and when people travel and where they travel and how long it takes to get from point A to point B and where people are most likely to be at certain times, or people who require lifts and require taxi rides are likely to be at certain times and where they're likely also to be going to. And they've been collecting this since the very early days in San Francisco. And they used to have a really good blog on this. I mean, and this is before they launched in the UK. It was really interesting stuff. And then they went all big and evil and stopped being a little startup and locked all this stuff down. What they're now doing is they are going to launch their urban planning tool that's based on that sort of people movement information called Uber Movement. They're going to launch it in London. They're also going to roll out to other cities in the UK, such as Manchester and Birmingham, I believe, over the next few months. And this should help people like Mr. Card.
He doesn't want that.
He doesn't
want
that.
He wants
to understand. Yes, to understand where people are moving to and from and the kind of times to help.
But this is going to be open to anybody to view. Anybody, as long as you register with them.
You've got to register and you're going to have to pay, aren't you?
No.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm. It said, when I went and clicked through the link, it said you can view this information for free after registration.
Right. Part of the reason for this, of course, is Uber trying to trade off possibly some of its now less than stellar reputation, particularly in London.
Particularly with data.
Particularly around data, yes. And say, well, look, we've got this, let's share it with you. And then you, the city planners, the people who run the cities, can use this information. Because it is data in the context. He says, putting his work hat off and take it off again quickly afterwards, to plan and to understand what's actually going on and what's happening.
Well, one of their blog posts, and you said it was a good blog. One of their blog posts is about when the bridge got shut in London.
I was talking about years ago, but yeah.
Right. And it showed this is where everybody went after the bridge got shut.
Yeah.
Which, quite honestly, I think is ridiculous, is in the public domain.
If it is as public domain as it is, as you're saying, and I haven't checked this out myself, then I am quite surprised. On the other hand, it just shows what an evil mind you have.
Well, that is because of the day job.
Thought about. It is, yes. And so your mind is possibly more evil than most people's.
But you're not as evil as many others.
This was an example, and this was a specific time.
Yeah, so if we shut this area, this is where everybody goes. And I know I've just had a pop at terrorism being used, but if you want to do multiple attacks, you don't have to do any real research to find out where people are going to go, and you could set it up so you could create absolute carnage. And this information's out just for anybody to see. It's ridiculous. I am using the most extreme.
If you say version. You are using an extremely extreme case, Andrew, and
but considering how we're being told repeatedly, we're at, be on alert. And all the rest. I mean, there was a press release today that came through about how people who rent out vans are now going to be part of the whole thing to stop terrorism.
This is a big one.
So we're being told all these things about how terrorism is out there and it is a constant threat and all the rest of it, which I fully believe it is. I'm not suggesting that it isn't in any way, but handing over this amount of information, it does not make any sense. And I get the feeling to do this, they have not had to go through any process to get approval for that.
There is a. If we're looking at it from that point of view, then there is a serious aggregation of information issue here. But I can't follow that up. I'm sorry, you've just got me completely stuck.
That's what really worried me about this. I can see how live information is really important for town planners.
This isn't
for
this
traffic
isn't live,
flow
though.
People, for stuff like that. And they have got those systems in place already. So this is almost a PR stunt by Uber just to show, oh, look, we share this information. We don't keep it hidden. We're a lovely, wonderful company. And I don't think it should be out there in the public domain, in my opinion.
One of these days I'm going to wrestle you into an Uber and you don't
Good
realize.
God. Oh, well, I'm going to have to be very drunk. Very, very drunk.
Pin you down and I'll take your phone and install the app.
Oh, God, no, you won't do that.
Right.
Right, come on, do you want to talk about
No, you do the one
that
you do the one that was meant to be. No, you do the one that was meant to be my piece this time.
Okay. In the merry-go-round that is...
Gee, we've been going for ages tonight.
...is the car manufacturer's world, the Alpine CEO is now going to take over JLR's special operations. So
that's Alpine as in the part of Renault with the A110, not the car stereo brand.
Yes, sorry. Yes, absolutely. John Edwards, the MD of Special Operations, is leaving in June. And then it is Michael van der Sand? Sandy?
Possibly. Sandy? I don't know any better than you, so I'm going to...
Sorry. Good God, we have really...
This is why I got this one.
Yes. No, it wasn't deliberately, but now I look at it, yes. To take them forward, maybe perhaps making it clear when certain... things on motor show stands are actually from them rather than from the parent company. Maybe that'll be one of the things he does.
Do you know, actually, there's an important point. Do you know what? I didn't actually see that at Geneva. I missed it, and then I went back past the stand again. I didn't see it on the way back either. We're talking about the three-door Range Rover, by the way.
£250,000.
£250,000, yes. No, I completely missed it. Completely missed it.
But if what he's done at Alpine, he can transfer that sort of ability to capture people's imagination like he has done and take that to JLR Special Ops, then that's brilliant for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fantastic.
Yes, me too.
Right, come on then. This is the and finally, because we have been talking
for ages. Finally, something which I haven't quite got to work yet. I'm so sorry. But we talked the other week about the Porsche's Mission E-derived concept that was at Geneva, and we weren't talking about it in very nice terms. So to get an idea of what the actual original Porsche Mission E is going to be like, then Porsche has launched an augmented reality app for our smartphones and all the various flavors that they come in. So the idea is that the Mission E will be on the market by the end of the decade with the new Mission E augmented reality app. The sports car manufacturer is providing innovative access to the electric sports cars technology. In other words, it's a good way to get a good look. So you can see augmented reality animations that simulate the aerodynamics, x-ray views let us see where the driver and the battery technologies are, and all these kind of things. I haven't quite got it to work yet. I am going to give it another go once we're finished, and I will tweet out the results. But I thought this was a really cool way to share stuff and to do stuff and to use technology.
Well, as there's more and more people...
It's a bit of fun to play with.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because as more and more people are now buying cars without actually physically going to the car, it makes sense.
I don't know who you mean.
Well, no, it is happening more and more, though, isn't it? I mean, we know plenty of people who buy cars off eBay without going to see them first.
Yes.
There's several people that we know that do that. But people are...
Paulette, we're including you in that one.
Yes. But just people off the street now are going online and going, click, that's the one I want, thank you. And not trying it. So this makes sense because it's trying to engage with people from a distance.
I think that this is an education piece as much as anything else, rather than a procurement piece.
Yeah, but it's the start of the whole process and get them used to, looking at this brand on a screen rather than have to go and prod and poke at it and stuff.
Absolutely. Yep. Mm. I thought that was fun.
I think it's a nice, quick, easy way for them to experiment as well.
Yes.
Relatively cheaply.
Yep. Yes, gosh, we've gone on tonight. That was always going to happen. So a couple of parish notes before we round up. Rear view episode this week. Have I got that right?
If everything goes to plan, yes.
Okay.
I will know by Thursday lunchtime if it has or hasn't.
Ouch. So anyway, probably more likely to go to plan than this evening's episode.
Yes.
Anyway. The other thing is to remind everyone, Cars and Coffee in Redditch on Sunday morning.
Yep. Do go have fun.
Coming up. Yes, I think I probably will.
Show pictures, please, everybody.
Yes, go along, see Graham and the team there, and grab some coffee and raise some money at the same time.
There's also going to be a special edition out this week from us.
Oh, so even if there's no review, there will be a special edition. Is that an amazing Top Gear tying-in special edition, Andrew?
It flukily is, actually, yes.
We didn't quite know that was going to happen. Otherwise, we would have had it out last week ahead of Top Gear.
Yes, quite.
But yes, or we would have swapped them round. But yes, that
and don't forget, we've got last week's special edition, as you just hinted.
Last week's? Yes, so the Mercedes Vito special edition. Basically, I'm not going to read out the entire name, otherwise we'll extend this show by even more longer than it is already. So yes, go. Very different types of vehicle, with both of us having had a poke in both of those. But don't forget that between now and next week, of course, you can give us any feedback, share your thoughts for the show at Motory Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, on Facebook, and on the contact page of motorypodcast.com, the hub of all our activities. Please don't forget our Patreon offer, available at Available at motoringpodcast.com/support, and please leave a review and rating on iTunes or however your podcast app lets you do such a thing. It really does matter. Andrew, best way to tell you you're a complete and total paranoid?
Best way to get in touch with me and agree with me so that you can come and join me in Tin Hat Corner would be via Twitter. And if you search for Crack Windscreen, you will find me there. And Alan, if people would like to talk to you and ask if you're frightened, and you're probably not frightened nearly enough, what's the best way for them to do that with you?
Trust me, I'm beyond being frightened. You can go to Twitter, as ever, where I'm at AJP Bradley, B-R-A-D-L-E-Y. I say, we'll be back next week, but until then, I've been Alan Bradley.
I've been Andrew Clues.
And safe motoring!